It's a beautiful song. Thank you, choir. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, O God. And he has saved us. And like we heard earlier, he is here to save even tonight. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure, a joy to be speaking to you guys tonight, to share the gospel. And lately, I've been fascinated with longevity, the longevity of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we're late for work, sometimes we're late for school. Yet this week that we're entering into, we look to the one who can fulfill all things. And specifically, Jesus fulfilling 300 prophecies in his ministry and life. But then even more so, I zoomed in and I honed in on this idea that Jesus fulfilled 27 messianic prophecies in just one day. So we're going to go through that a little bit tonight. I figured since it's Palm Sunday, right, we're singing Hosanna, we're saying God save us, that we prepare our hearts for what this rest of the week would look like. That we prepare our hearts for communion together on Thursday, that we'd have on our hearts and on our minds the finished and beautiful work of Jesus, the way he accomplished the prophetic words. And I personally love that we get to be Christians full of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of prophecy is one of the gifts that God has given us. And so for me, it's a pleasure and an honor tonight to bring such a unique message, I think. So before I go, though, into it, let's just pray. Pray with me if you can. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. I thank you for your presence that's already here with us. I thank you that even during the worship time, and God, as the choir sang, as we heard the words earlier tonight, that you've been with us, God. And I pray that today, as we're celebrating you coming into Jerusalem, God, coming into the city humbled on a donkey, God, that you would also just reveal your nature to us tonight, God. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds, God, that as we look to the word, that we would be filled with your spirit, filled with your heart, God, filled with your heart for each other, God, filled with your heart for you, God. And that as we come to communion to take from the elements, God, that you would be fully in it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about it a lot. The idea kept coming to me is when I got the task for tonight, and I was just thinking, how many prophecies did Jesus fulfill going into this week of Passion? You know, it's known as the Passion Week, the Holy Week. And then I thought to myself a little bit more realistic, as I sometimes do, and I go, what would I do if I had just 1 week to live? And I knew that I had 1 week to live. Or what would I do with my life? Or who would I spend my week with? I'm sure a lot of you would say your wife, your spouse, your kids, your family. Yet Jesus walked in some situations, they stripped him fully, beaten, bruised into that kind of life, knowing full well what would happen. And to me, that's what drove me into this study of what drove Jesus this week into this week. You know, I think about often like he was on this donkey and he fulfilled the prophetic word by walking in or by riding on the donkey. And I think to myself a lot, you know, we all celebrate this day because we're so happy. But what was going on in Jesus's mind on that donkey? Others would be on a horse. Others would be on a chariot. He rode in full well knowing that as they were celebrating him, just a few days later, they would say, crucify him. So this dichotomy in the mind and the heart, and that's why I think it's so beautiful that we can find so much depth in the person of Jesus. I truly, like as I've been preaching over the last year and a half or so, I've been really focused on how Jesus reveals, restores, and redeems all things. So tonight's message, I figured I would title it Psalms and Palms. From Psalms to Palms. Because Jesus' love is actually what drove him to fulfill all that was necessary. He was driven by love to redeem us all. And praise God for that. So Jesus fulfilled at least 300 prophecies in his earthly ministries. And several of them, and just 27 in one day, and we'll get to that in a second, were accomplished in the final week, in this week that we're going into. And so I'd like to focus on three things tonight as we go through this study together. And first is that he is the word. So from him, if he is the word, all things flowed from that word. And because he is the word, he knew the word. He was able to fulfill them. I know Pastor Gog would appreciate this kind of study because it gets into all the depths of it. Two, that he was able to pay attention because he knew the word so well to all the details that were happening in the final week, in the final days. And three, that he always had his eyes set on the eternal things and not on the momentary things. What drives a man to longevity through that much pain and torture? The eternal things of God. So the three things I want to focus on: Jesus is the word, Jesus is intentional, and Jesus is eternal. And I love that we basically sang that song too, because of who you are. So we're basically going to continue that song, continue the study that we had earlier, and talk about who Jesus is through this last week that we're going to walk into together. And the 27 messianic prophecies in one day is already just mind-blowing to me. And that was actually the day that he was betrayed. So we'll find that out later this week. And then obviously there was 300 or so since he was born up to his resurrection. But mathematically speaking, for all the math nerds and the engineers in the room and those who understand statistics, even if he fulfilled 8 of those prophecies on that one day, it would be 1 in 100 quadrillionths of a ratio. There's a lot of zeros behind that one, which means that it was maybe I'll make it simpler, 1,000 million millions, 1 out of 1,000 hundred millions. Or let's go even further, 1 million billion. So the chances of him fulfilling 8 out of those 27, just a fraction, was 1 in 1 million billion. And I think that's so vast that I can't even comprehend it, because I haven't seen $100 million. I haven't seen $1 million physically in front of me. So to think of the ratio is wild to me. And one person fulfilling 48 prophecies, for example, has 1 in even less than that. And one fulfilling 300 prophecies, though, that's only Jesus Christ. And one fulfilling 27 can only be the Messiah. And that's what I want to hone in on. Because, for example, the odds, you know, all of us, we all hope in some way. Some of us hope more than others that we win the Powerball or we win the jackpot. And you know what's interesting about it? The odds of winning the Powerball or the lottery is maybe 1 in 300 million. Significantly less of the odds of Jesus even fulfilling a fraction of those. Yet a lot of us still play those. I mean, I don't play those, but like, I know plenty of people who, let's just hope. And yet sometimes we put more of our hope in things like this than even in the ratio that Jesus Christ had you and me on his mind when he came and bled, came and died, that we might have eternal life. And his eyes were always on the eternal. And I love that about Jesus Christ, amen? I mean, even the odds of getting hit by lightning, they say that it's 1 in maybe less than 60,000. Oh, sorry, 1 in 1 million. And they say that, I was looking for Jason earlier here, but he's my bee honey guy. But 1 in 60,000 that you'll get really hurt by getting stung by a bee in your life. I mean, the odds are incredible that Jesus was able to fulfill that. So tonight I want to go through some of these prophetic words. I want to go through these prophecies that are in Scripture that bring us to the cross, that will hopefully bring us even tonight to the deeper understanding that Jesus actually, against all odds, had you and me on his mind, had our church on his mind, had your family on your mind. So if you're going through some despair, if you're going through some lack of hope, tonight let's lift up our hope, lift up our eyes to see that Jesus actually had us on his mind, on his heart. And even when he said, like, take this cup away from me, he didn't mean it like I can't do it. He just was fulfilling more and more things. Amen? And so from Psalms to Palms, Psalm 118, we heard it this morning even. Lord, Psalm 118, 25 and 26, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Or other translations say, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so let's dive deep into this. Because in Zechariah 9:9, it says, in the Old Testament, it says, rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Low, righteous and victorious, low and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. So we're going to basically be comparing the Old and the New Testament to see how Jesus was so intentional to fulfill his word. So first, we're going to start off with Jesus is the word. We all know John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God for that. If he is the word and he was there in the beginning, he knew from the beginning of time that he has chosen us in this place, that he would choose that specific time in history to come. And so even more so, his intentionality to come and to fulfill those prophetic words were on his heart. And so I just want to encourage us as well. I have a habit of keeping near and dear to my heart the prophetic words, the words that God has spoken over my life. And I hold them near and dear because of these truths right here. Because I know that if they matter to Jesus, they should matter to me. And if they matter to him, they should matter to us. And one way that we lose track often is just by forgetting. But see, we read in scripture that Jesus was constantly about his Father's business. In Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And then earlier, he actually tells his parents, didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? Because he was so rooted in the word, even at the young age of 12, he was all about the word of God. He was all about that. And that actually became him, which is the beauty of communion. Because as we celebrate communion coming soon, we eat and partake and we drink and it becomes part of us. But the word of God is constantly being, it's the bread of life, right? There's living waters pouring from it. So there's something about eating the word of God. There's something about digesting the word of God. As we study the scripture, as we read the scripture, that it would become us. Because here we see that Jesus is the word. But more than, if Jesus is the word, why did he have to grow in stature? Because he had to show us what growing in the word was. He had to show us what being about the Father's business looked like. And Jesus was so immersed in the word and in his destiny and who he was and who he is that he was super confident with the word of God. And I think if anything, I can just boast about this church is that we've gotten the word of God so many times. And I'm so thankful, so grateful, Pastor. And for all the pastors who share the word of God, I'm so grateful that we can come into a house and a church where we receive food. We receive the word of God and that we would just eat of it and let it become part of us. Amen? Two, Jesus is intentional. I believe that because Jesus knew himself, aka he was the word, he was able to pay attention to all the details. With hundreds around him, with 10 around him, I mean, sometimes I get distracted with my two kids. But with all those people around him, he was able to be intentional to pay attention to the people around him, to feel the garment when the woman touched, to know what to say at the right time. And then even here in John 19:29 and 30, look how intentional he is about even fulfilling the prophecies of old. And it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, so that's the key in this, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a soap branch and held it to his mouth, verse 30. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. There's such an intentionality upon the Lord about these three words. Now, I was joking earlier with a brother, and those are some of the most important words right there, three of the most important words. It is finished. And we were joking earlier how the three most important words in America is What are they? Made in China. There's so many type of words that define our culture, that just define us. And here Jesus, constantly with longevity, has the cross on his mind, has you and me on our mind. He says, it is finished. Why? To fulfill the scripture. I believe that he was so intentional that he knew even in the darkest times, the most painful times, how to pay attention to those things. So I looked up the word intentional, and the word intentional means to be done on purpose or deliberate. And so what does it mean to be intentional to me? To be intentional means making deliberate choices that reflect what is most important to you or to me. Becoming intentional can help us maintain a positive mindset, reach our goals, experience clarity, be more present. It can also increase our focus and commitment and bring more purpose and meaning to our lives. But intentionality could also lead to many wrong things. You know, when they arrest someone, they always ask, was it with intent or was it an accident? And so intentionality needs to be at the forefront of our hearts, forefront of our minds. And so then I took the word intention and I actually broke it down. What's the word intention broken down? It means to be in tension. Now, how many of us like being in tension, but not intentional? What does it mean to be in tension? It means to be in a state of being stretched thin, or mental or emotional stress or strain. How many of you guys, don't raise your hand, how many of you guys feel stretched in life, ministry, work, relationships? Well, here's a secret. I feel like the Lord is calling us to lean in our seasons of tension, in our seasons of being stretched thin, because the intentionality of that moment leads us closer to his love, leads us closer to victory, leads us closer to saying, Hosanna, save us. And he can come in and take care of our needs. And I think that sometimes the moments that challenge us the most actually define us the most. Sometimes the moments where you're challenged the most mean the most to you. Case in point, this week, Jesus Christ, the biggest challenge of all. From the beginning, he was the Word and he knew, and he was there with Father God, and he knew what this all would lead. And here comes this week, this monumentous week, like we've heard before, and his eye is on legacy. His eye is on you and on me. And that moment and that week defined him for eternity. So I want to learn from the Lord, and I'm hoping all of us, as we pray, as we prepare our hearts for this week, as we study this, that we actually intentionally dive into it. Jesus was intentional in that moment with people and with the task at hand, but he didn't lose sight of the big picture. He didn't get stuck in the emotions of the moment, even though he fully felt them. You know, I often think about the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I often think about him being so stressed that he was bleeding from his own skin. He felt the stress, he felt the emotion. And I know emotions can get the best of us sometimes. There's so many issues that are going around and so many times, and usually all that happens when we lose our focus. We lose our focus from the eternal, from the kingdom perspective, and we focus only on ourselves or only on the situation at hand. And you know what's funny and ironic about the whole thing is often we think that we're the ones that are right. You know, and so I think it's important to see here that Jesus was intentional. So as we are intentional with our problems, as we're intentional with our friends, our family, that we see the bigger picture, that we'll all be in heaven celebrating together, that we're all going to be in heaven rejoicing. And I even think that the Lord has a sense of humor, that he'll be putting you next to the people that you rub shoulders wrong with now, and you'll be rubbing shoulders with them in heaven. If we literally take that perspective and zoom back out, we'll quickly understand that all the troubles and dramas that are happening around us are actually just distractions from pursuing what he's called us to do. Amen? And three, Jesus has kingdom perspective. In Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, I was having breakfast with a friend earlier this week, and it was on Monday, and we were talking about this actually. What does it look like to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all the things will be added to you? And I think a lot of times we think that added to you means if you love Jesus and you're a good person, he'll give you nice things, you know? So let me break that down just a little bit. In other translations, it says that all these things will be given to you. In other translations, it even says that these things will actually be attracted to you. There's a bigger difference between being given things, but things being attracted to you. So for example, if I'm talking about Jesus and I'm praising the Lord, I will be finding people who talk about Jesus and praise the Lord. But if I'm gossiping and slandering, I will be finding people who gossip and slander. To me, there's such an important thing in this scripture. What are you attracting in your life? Because clearly we see that Jesus was attracting the prophecies, and he was attracting the things from before, and he was attracting the gospel fulfilled, and he was attracting me and you, you and I, into a relationship with him. But then often, we zoom back out and we go, what are we attracting? You know, we all live our lives according to certain codes, standards, rules, core values. To me, these are super crucial. I love to live based off of core values instead of off just momentary things. Like, for example, I have decided a couple things in my life. Like, God died for you and for me. So because of that, I have no other choice but just to say thank you. That God is good for that. Those core values are within me no matter what. To love my brother as my own. Like, those are core values within us. And sometimes, you know, through life, we kind of go and we kind of change our core values, or we adapt. And sometimes unintentionally, we adapt our core values. Usually, you lose the biggest battle when your guard is down, because that's when you don't realize things creep in. So a lot of times, intention, when your guard is up, that's not a bad place to be. The important thing, though, is to give it to the Lord, to be rooted in the values of the scripture, to be rooted in the values of God. In Proverbs, for example, Proverbs 20, verse 4, speaking about gossip and slander or issues, says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. And I think about that scripture often because my grandpa would tell me all the time, read a proverb a day. So every time I would come to this one, I would just think, what does it mean to be a lazy man and not plow? Does that mean work? And then in some ways, I kept thinking that this is actually retaining to our core values. You know, we say we believe in Jesus, but do we act like we believe in Jesus? So many people talk to be heard, but not enough people talk to redeem. Many people talk to be right, but not enough people talk to redeem. Many people talk to prove a point, but not enough people pray to see restoration and see redemption. And that's what I think is happening here. The lazy man actually is not paying attention to what is happening in his life. He's just going about it without thinking, unintentional, without core values, or maybe he thinks or she thinks they have core values, but truly, they're just going with the flow. You guys, you know, we hear it all the time, even like, I just play by ear. I just do things by the ear. But I think here it's crucial to pay attention to how we can actually be intentional with how we pay attention so we can harvest the good things. Because some people, myself included, suffer season after season because we eat the fruit of our own words. Yet we haven't learned the power of sowing and reaping. So may God just like encourage us to not be this lazy man who will not plow during the winter. During the times when we're down or we think it's relaxed, or maybe we just think it's okay to be comfortable and just to put the stove on and just kind of sit in our house. But the important thing is that we get out of our comfort zone and we practice these foundational core values that God loved us. And so no matter what, I won't be deterred from that. I won't question you, Lord, with your love. I won't question you with your goodness. Because in Matthew 6:33, then it says in 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. And I think that's what's amazing about Jesus Christ. His eternal perspective pulled him out of that day, pulled him out of even the beautiful day of coming into Jerusalem with his mind being on two different things, or possibly many other things, knowing full well that Friday's coming. But I love that he's actually rejoicing about Sunday. He sees 3 days later. He sees an eternity. He sees 2,000 years later, me and you, you and I here in this place, and he sees heaven. May we keep our eyes fixed on heaven, amen? I think we need to keep Jesus' perspective, his appreciation, his reverence. I think we need to have a holy awe and fear of him, and we need his culture, his values, his love. And he's given us so many ways to do that. He's given us so many tools in scripture to do that. One of them being communion. Communion is all about remembering Jesus. All about remembering the day that's coming soon that we see in scripture. This week, 2,000 years ago, I remember when I first got saved, and then I was like in that second row. We all used to hang out in that second row. And I still remember 18 years old and 20 years old, and there's certain years in my life when I would be going through some trouble, and I would sit right there, kind of where you guys are, and I would hear the word of God from this pulpit, and it would hit me like a rock. And I gave my life to Jesus. And sometimes I felt like I gave my life multiple times, because you know how sometimes we slip and fall. But the truth is, it was just me getting right with the Lord, getting right with the Lord. And I couldn't wait to be baptized in water. You know, I didn't look forward to necessarily the water experience as much as I was looking forward to that moment when we have communion and then the pastor says, okay, if you haven't been baptized in water or the Holy Spirit, please sit down. You know, and often at 16, 15, I was always like, man, I just want to try that once. It feels like forbidden fruit to me, you know. But the beautiful thing, as I was like meditating on at that, even at that age, like what is the body and the blood? What is the bread and the wine? What does that look like? What does that mean? I just felt the genius of the Lord like upon it, that he would take the most basic elements. Every day we eat bread and we drink something. Every day is a day of remembrance of the King of Kings. Every day can be a moment where you remember our place in history, I remember our place in line, I remember what the Lord has done for us, and instantly it pulls us back from our momentary issue and zooms us back out to the gospel. It zooms us back out to see the bigger picture. It zooms us back out to see that he died for you and for me and my neighbor. He died for all the people across the street. He died for the one that I see that's giving me a hard time at Walmart or something like that. He's died for all of them, you know, like we have to zoom back out and remember that no matter what the situation is, that God has a plan. Amen? And to me, culture values are some of the most important things. So if it was important for Jesus to pay attention to prophetic words, what does that mean for us today? So I'll just give you a couple examples of how he fulfilled a couple prophecies during that day. So this week coming up, as we're going into this Passion Week, as we wake up every morning, that we're remembering that Jesus was then teaching, Jesus was healing, Jesus was fulfilling these prophetic words. There's a day coming when they revolt against him, but Jesus has us in mind. And so one thing I'd like to point out is, for example, I love that And Zephaniah, there it is. And Zephaniah. I can't remember. Okay, we'll move on. I kind of abbreviated it as Z instead of putting the whole the whole name. But the price paid for his betrayal. Let's just focus in on that for a second. The price paid for his betrayal. In the Old Testament, it says, Zechariah, there it is. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Many, many years before the Lord Jesus Christ, this was already written in the scripture. And in Matthew 26, 14 and 15, it says, then one of the 12 called Judas, went up to the chief priests and said to them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. Now, I think it's kind of bewildering to think that the priests in the temple, they knew scripture in and out. They knew that word. They knew that 30 pieces of silver would be the one that was needed. And so, if I knew that something would happen and is my enemy coming up to me, I probably wouldn't be giving up 30 pieces of silver because I would be fulfilling actually the word, the prophecy that was in the word. And even so, this is how Jesus fulfilled it. In Psalm 22 and 31, it says, "They will come and declare his righteousness to all the people who will be born, that he has done it." So in John 19:30, it says, "So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' bowing his head and gave his spirit." So there's so many examples of how Jesus actually called out the prophetic words in that moment. And Jesus, paying attention to these prophecies fulfilled, even when it looked like just being sold for 30 pieces of silver. It might not look like a lot to you or to me. It might not look like it was a huge thing, but that's what Jesus was actually paying attention to. He was paying attention to all these prophetic words as they were happening this week that's coming up. Mind you, 27 of them in one day, and 300 of them over all his ministry and life up to his resurrection, all fulfilled. And if it's hard to imagine winning the lottery, imagine 100 quadrillion to one odds that he would fulfill these. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because I feel in my heart and in my spirit that this week marks such a pinnacle time for us. And I remember a couple years ago during COVID, we weren't able to meet in person. And so we recorded a bunch of videos walking through this Passion Week, because it's so important to be intentional about it. Because as we eat the word, as we eat the words of Jesus, and we even pay attention to the prophetic words, I feel like there's going to be things unlocked for us, for our church, and for our lives. And in John 7:38, I've been focusing on this a little bit with the youth as well. If you could put John 7:38 up on the screen, it says, "Whoever believes in him, as the scripture said, says out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And so to me, that's been very crucial and important. How can things flow out of you if they're not in you? How can things flow out of you if they're not in you? If we're not eating the word of God, if we're not paying attention and meditating on his word, if we're not reading the red letters in the scripture, if we're not paying attention to the scriptures and paying attention to the prophetic words. And I think in some translations, it kind of talks about out of the heart. Some translations say out of the stomach, the belly, and some even say out of the womb. I have no experience with that, but I think it's important to think that that's the depths of who you are. And I think Jesus on the cross was giving us living water when he was pierced, because out of him came life. And so my encouragement tonight is that as we go into this week, as we read some scripture, as we pay attention to the things that Jesus did, that Jesus was, he is the word, that Jesus is intentional and his eye is on the eternal things, that we would go into this week remembering that Jesus actually has you and me in our hearts, you and I in our hearts. He has us in eternity. He's intentional, and his words don't fall flat. And that if he is the word, that we need to be consuming it. And as we prepare our hearts for this week, that as we come to the table, as we come to the altar of praise, as we come Thursday night to worship, I encourage you to bring everybody to church. Let this not just be for the ones that take communion, but even the ones that come to hear the message, to hear the word of God. So they could be like us when we were younger and were anticipating the day when we could actually partake of the blood and the bread and the wine, that we could actually reach the nations, that we can actually reach the city, we can reach our friends. And as we see from Psalms to Palms to today and into this week that's coming, to the crucifixion and then eventually to the most beautiful day, the resurrection, that Jesus had you and me on their heart. So I pray that blesses you. I pray that if you had only 1 week to live, that you would live it for the Lord fully, as Jesus did, that we would learn longevity from him, and that from him, all things would flow. Amen. God bless you.